Welcome to Positively Psychic. Positively Psychic. 2 hours of fascinating interviews and call-ins with your host, the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. Positively Psychic. During the show, Mark will invite you to call in to speak with him and his guests. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychic. Join the online chat to share thoughts and experiences with like-minded souls at www.para-x.com. Positively Psychic. Listen in now as the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson, interviews leading experts in the paranormal field, takes your calls, and answers your questions on Positively Psychic.
Welcome to Positively Psychic. I'm your psychic medium host, Mark Christopher Nelson, and I'm here with my psychic spouse.
Hello, everyone out there.
In radio land. Well, tonight we actually have a show that Barb and I are very, very excited about it. A couple weeks ago, as you may remember, we had Suzanne Taylor on, who did a documentary on crop circles. Well, in speaking to Suzanne, one of the people she highly recommended that Barb and I have on the show is a gentleman by the name of Michael Glickman, who appeared in the film. Michael has actually written a fabulous book, Crop Circles, The Bones of God, and we're very fortunate to have coerced and convinced Michael to wake up at 3 a.m. England time in the U.K. And to spend some time with us. So I'm very grateful and excited to have you on. Welcome, Michael.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Michael, the book looks fascinating, and I just have to tell you that the topic of crop circles, if you think about, at first blush, they're beautiful, they're amazing, and there's something that they grab Barb and I like no other. I mean, we get to meet a lot of people in the paranormal or the metaphysical. This, I think, in many respects, is as big as the idea of what is God, where are we in the universe? I mean, the idea of crop circles brings up so many questions.
Well, it's, this will be my 21st consecutive season of crop circles. And I find it more delightful, more astonishing, more bewildering, more of a stretch of the imagination every year. I have no idea what's going on. Anybody who says they do is either a liar or a fool. But I have 84 speculations. And whatever the hell is going on, I'm so happy to be involved.
Well, I can't, I don't blame you. Truthfully, before we had a chance to speak with Suzanne, I was ambivalent about the topic. It wasn't something that was truly on my radar. But then once we sat and watched the film, she made such a convincing argument, she posed so many questions that I couldn't dismiss, that it just blew my mind. And then your book also brings up it's a very elegant presentation. It's beautiful. I mean, crop circles at a very cursory level are beautiful and breathtaking. And then when you think about the implications, well, it makes my head spin quite a bit. So, Michael, how did you find yourself? Just so everyone knows, Michael is a trained architect. He was not from Planet K. He was living, I imagine, a pretty conventional life. And then you discovered that you were interested, you tell us, how did you first experience crop circles?
Well, I'm an architect by training. I've been an architect, a teacher of architecture, a teacher of design, including a period as professor of architecture at USC in California.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I was always very, very interested in the perimeters of human knowledge. And I've got three boys, and bringing up the boys the kids were always fascinated. I used to get a little magazine called 40 in Times, the Journal of Strange Phenomena. And it was about things like spontaneous human combustion and strange deaths.
And who doesn't love reading about that? I mean,
lovely. I mean, we used to, every month it would come through the letterbox and we would fight over it. And this was a magazine which, through the 80s, had poor black and white images of circles, always circles in the fields. And I used to look at these without realizing how prophetic these images were for me. But I used to think, oh, that's a curious little phenomenon over there. I'm sure that can be sorted out. And then one day in July of 1990, there was an amazing linear formation which, for the first time, abandoned the purely circular and started to use a much more sophisticated geometry. It was a formation of about 300 feet in length of a remarkable enigmatic imagery. And for some reason, the photograph of this huge event made it to the pages of the national press. And one Saturday morning, I was reading The Guardian, and there on page 11 was this amazing enigmatic image. And I suppose I felt rather like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters. Mm-hmm. And I said to my youngest kid, look, I'm going down there this afternoon, do you want to come? And we jumped in the car and went down. My life has changed. I walked into that crop circle and I never got out. It was the most remarkable experience of my life. And I realized, I suppose with the benefit of hindsight, that I'd been waiting for this in a curious way. I felt very comfortable with the phenomenon and very quickly became very, very closely involved with writing and lecturing and drawing, above all. I've been with it since 1990.
Michael, when you walk into a field, I mean, do you notice, is there an energy about it? What do you feel when you're walking through a crop circle?
What I have to say is that I'm visually trained. I look. I'm pretty good at looking. And while I've had certain experiences to do with energies and feeling things, other people are much more sensitive to that than am I, and I am not very good at this. Mm-hmm. I work essentially through my eyes, and I've always been able to go into a circle and see things with enormous clarity, mm-hmm. to observe things and to notice things. I've drawn circles since 1990, and indeed this act of drawing of them, drawing the formation, the silhouette of the circle, which is something I've been working on for many years, brings another level of intimacy. Now, I would never, ever attempt to diminish the experiences of those people who go in and immediately sense an energy, and I believe they do. But this rarely happens to me in that particular way. I always go in, and I am always very sharply aware of the fact that I am in a space which is not normal.
Yeah.
The birthly experience.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when a better question would be, it feels like you're in a place where something important has just occurred.
Absolutely.
And that when you see the scale and the precision, I'm guessing, of this work, the idea that a couple of rubes or even a couple of bright college kids...
It is ludicrous. I mean, I've been a professor of architecture. I've worked in engineering. I've designed large span bridges. I've worked in the production of furniture. I've worked in film and in special effects. My three sons are now all in movies. Mm-hmm. I know about the movie business. I know how these things are done. Mm-hmm. And before 1990, and with some arrogance, I used to pride myself in being able to look at something and know immediately how it was made, what was the technology that joined a piece of glass to a piece of aluminium, a piece of plastic to a piece of wood, a piece of concrete to a piece of iron. Mm-hmm. I walked into the crop circle in 1990, which was at the famous East Field at Alton Mines, and I knew immediately that this could not be made with any known earthly mechanism or technology.
Well, for what it's worth, I've been out in a number of cornfields and wheat fields. Through my work, I had to go and work with farmers. And so I've been out in enough fields. I know that this stuff can be brittle. It snaps. And I'm talking about row crops. I'm talking about different kinds of crops. I mean, you can make some of it lie down, but some of the images in your book, it shows very precise, but smooth bends in the crops that are being pressed down by some force in order to create these expansive designs. I have no idea how a couple of guys like the old Doug and Dave story, I guess it is.
Let us drop this.
I mean, it seems ridiculous.
Let us drop it. The idea, there are some man-made circles. Every year there's a handful of man-made circles. They might as well have flashing amber lights in them or the obviousness of their crudity and incompetence. They're always spotted. And yet, the real ones have a scale and a grandeur and a precision and an artistry which is simply breathtaking. And this whole question of, it couldn't be man-made, is so beside the point. I would challenge anybody who has assembled a flat pack wardrobe from IKEA or anybody who's attempted to make a model aeroplane for his kid or anybody who has simply tried to put his shelf on a wall to have a look at a crop circle and say, it's easy to do.
You know, the other thing, too, is that Barb and I once had a house built. And we left very specific directions about, we'd like the roof in our master bedroom to look a certain way. We'd like this to be done in a certain way. And what happened? These, what I would consider to be fairly direct clear directions given to quote-unquote professionals were goofed up. So,
as an architect, I never ever knew a building which finished on time.
Yeah.
And in the old days in London, when somebody pulled a contract in on time, the wires around the architectural profession would burn with astonishment. People would call each other up.
Did you hear about this?
And yet, in some way, these complex forms arrive in minutes and are perfect in every conceivable way. It is not earthly. It is not the way things are here on planet Earth.
No. The scale. By the way, Michael, if people want to learn more about you, I want to give many opportunities. And Barbara, actually, I guess, has a question too. We have some questions. But if people want to learn more about you, where do they find you? How do they contact you?
Well, my personal email is michaelccr, michaelccr, crop circle reality, michaelccr@hotmail.com.
So michaelccr@hotmail.com.
I'm very happy to take any question after the show. And to do what I can to clarify any point I have. I write a blog on a site called temporarytemples.co.uk. That is the site of Steve Alexander, the crop circle photographer, mm-hmm. and his wife Karen, who's a writer. Mm-hmm. The other site worth looking at is the site record, which is Crop Circle Connector. But I should also announce that plans are now well advanced for a new site called Crop Circle Reporter, which will be largely immediate and video technology based, and it's run by a pair of absolutely brilliant technicians, filmmakers, and IT people based in Norway who are trying to bring the crop circles to a wider public using the technologies. And we're having a series of meetings here, day by day this week, Crop Circle Connector, sorry, Crop Circle Reporter, which will be online, I imagine, within the next week or two as the circles start to appear.
Well, Michael, when you do get the site up, if it's up by, say, next Thursday, if you wanted to come by for 10 minutes and just, you know, maybe we can have you on towards the latter part of the show after my first guest, we can have you come back and tell us a little bit about it if you're up to it or the week after. But we would definitely love to have you come back and tell us more about it. And Barbara has some questions for you.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael, I have a question from our chat. Someone in the chat wants to know, is there any similarity in the crop circle designs and pictographic languages like the Zuni, the Hopi, or the Egyptians?
Very complex question, actually, because they've opened a conversation with us in a symbolic language. And they're not communicating by means of words and spelling, or by means of smell, or by means of specific energetics. They're communicating with us through two-dimensional symbolism. Now, there have been some very, very specific designs. For example, we've had the Tree of Life, which is an ancient Kabbalistic symbol. We've had a menorah, which is an ancient Jewish symbol. The menorah, incidentally, was clearly a symbol which bore more information historically than is generally known about, so that there are, in that respect, there is evidence that we're dealing with very, very ancient history and wisdom. But there's been, over the last few years, a repeated reference to Mesoamerican symbolism, Aztec symbolism, and various things which seem to reference Mexico, Maya, 2012. And constantly there are people who come forward and say, look at that one, that refers to the Hopi, that refers to so-and-so. And, you know, I mean, in the early days, in the 80s, we were dealing with simple circles. Well, were those circles drawings of motor car wheels or long playing records or dinner plates? The circle is the circle is the circle. But there is, it's a very, very difficult question to deal with, because so many of these symbols are multi-layered and holographic and reference many, many different previous historical cultures. And it's very hard to be precise and say, that is exactly so-and-so. But certainly they make reference repeatedly to previous worldly cultural designs.
Michael, in your book, you do mention, you do talk about the history of crop circles. This is not, I mean, while we've become more aware of them in recent decades, they've in fact been recorded and noted throughout history. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is, for me, a very contentious area, because it's my view that what we're experiencing now is a very specific, willful, and directed phenomenon, which is meant for humanity at this era. Now, there is a kind of satellite movement to show that crop circles have been around for many, many years. And I'm happy to sit comfortably with that, but I believe that it tends to remove attention from the immediacy and urgency of this present communication. And in many cases, because historic formations occurred before aerial photography, and because the historic formations certainly never appeared to achieve the symbolic and geometric sophistication that we're now having, I believe they are a distraction. And I compare, this is like getting $5 million to do research into Rembrandt, and to come out at the end with a master's PhD thesis on the drops of paint on the floor of the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I see absolutely no argument about the fact that there were circles earlier seen by Obama's daughters in the 1930s. But I think this is a distraction. Number one, we're never going to be able to clarify the meaning, the extent, the veracity of that. Number two, we have a matter in front of us now of such urgency and beauty and importance that I think we should be concentrating on that.
Well, I can appreciate that. I mean, I would think that in earlier times that there was little relevancy prior to people, humans, being able to get up into planes and to take photographs of what's being done. Otherwise, you know, it's a pointless communication. I mean, as I see these things, while they are spectacular from the air, any being, any consciousness capable of creating these things does not need to leave graffiti in a field in order to communicate with their friends and companions there, or other people, or other beings that they wish to touch. These are meant for us. These are meant to be on a huge scale, and I have to think that the purpose is to raise our consciousness, to cause us to think. I mean, if they just wanted to say, hey, we're over here, they'd point an arrow and they'd say it in our native language. So I think there's a higher purpose involved here, and that is to make us think. And who, and you'll find a lot of resistance to people being asked to think. That's why I think that they're using kind of somewhat oblique, you know, messages, although not necessarily. They almost invariably take some thought, and there's a great deal of thought put into them. If we look at it from, you say, the 1990s, they were relatively simple compared to the more ornate communications we're seeing today. Do you have an explanation, or what, in your opinion, might be the cause of this evolution?
Yes. I think that there is an agenda here. There is a curriculum. I think you're right. It is to do with the stretching of human consciousness to a level it has never encountered before. Mm-hmm. And like all very, very good teachers, you work to intrigue the class, but never to complete the lesson.
Could you repeat that? Could you say that again? I want to make sure we're following that.
You aim to intrigue the class, but never to complete the lesson.
Okay.
So that we, the humans, are stretched almost unbearably every season. Mm-hmm. The miracles were offered, but we are never given answers. Well, they say to us every year, right, deal with this lot.
What do you chew on this one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think that the answer is in the discussion. That is the desired result of these impressions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it is remarkable how a large and growing community has been electrified by this experience. Our lives have been ineradicably changed. And they was are. I mean, I think when people come here and spend some time around here in the fields and at conferences and group meetings, lives are never the same again. They go back home, but they go back home as different people.
Oh.
Improved. Changed for the better, but changed. Changed. And this, certainly in part, is, I think, I know, a component of the activity behind the crop circle phenomenon. I mean, they are working very, very cleverly, in a masterly way, on human consciousness.
Well, we have actually someone local, a friend of yours and mine, Sean Randall, was she actually is one of those people. She lives in our neighborhood. We're in the Woodland Hills area. Sean is out this way as well, and she leads tours. And actually, I wanted to publicly thank Sean for bringing over the Michael's book. Michael's has so kindly had a copy sent to me, but it seems to have gotten on. They accidentally sent it to China first, and then I'm sure it'll arrive tomorrow, as we first discussed. But if Sean, you're listening, if you wanted to come in and talk a little bit about, Sean was going to give us a call at a certain point. And so just the
idea. I've known Sean for 843 years.
You know, most of you guys photograph really well for someone that age, I have to say. Yeah.
She brings a group over. I run a thing called Crop Circle Tea Time, where groups come to my home and during season, and we have several groups, and I always welcome her as Sean and Randallex.
Well, I'll have to meet Sean. She is in the neighborhood. So if Sean, you're listening, I gave her the number, but I'll give it one more time. 818-574-8412. But she's just one of the many groups that do come. Barbara has a question for us.
Yeah, Michael, I had a question. Just recently, I don't know if you heard in the news, Stephen Hawking was talking about how alien life forms may not be as friendly as we think, and that we actually shouldn't encourage them to communicate with us. And if in fact these crop circles are from an alien life form, I mean, are they trying to warn us of something? Or I mean,
no. This is the most benign, supportive, loving communication imaginable. And Hawkins brings to bear what is very much a consensus position in your culture and my culture, which is fear and paranoia. I had the privilege of entering America again just a few weeks ago, and I swear to you, it was the most horrifying experience of my life.
Wow.
And it was, I imagine it was very much like being marched off to a prison camp. It was awful, awful, awful. And it is monstrous what we have allowed the American nation and the British nation to become in terms of observations, aggressions, fear-based exchanges. Yeah. And Hawkins is simply responding to that. If science could open its limited vision to see what has been happening on our fields here, and to realize that this is contact, and this is benign, supportive, loving contact. It's not to do with Hollywood, it's not to do with Mars attacks or any of the nightmare ET scenarios which Hollywood produces and promotes. And Hawkins is buying into that nonsense. In 20 years of observation of this phenomenon, I have seen not a speck of dust of aggression, competitiveness. It is entirely benign.
Well, that's
and
it's
time to forward towards that.
Well, the sad thing is that I think Hollywood and many of the people in charge of the media feel that they can grab our bad news sells. And this is kind of like nice, pleasant, interesting, thought-provoking news, which I think what would probably help us all is if it turned out that Tiger Woods was having an affair in the center of a crop circle, then we'd probably hear a lot more about it.
I mean, it is interesting. The major Hollywood schlock buster about circles, which was Signs,
yes,
made with Mel Gibson, used crop circles as a purported background to it, but it featured unpleasant 7-foot creatures with clawed hands.
Yes.
It was fear-based nonsense. The creation of false nightmares.
Well, people, unfortunately, I mean, I don't have an objection to people wanting a good scare, but I think the fact that, you know what, one thing I would say is that perhaps they are looking for those beings, those consciousnesses that create these circles are looking to appeal to a certain type of people that might be very effective at delivering the message in a gradual way that might not cause hysteria, that might cause people to think, that might cause the populace to see that maybe there is something up here and that it's not a bad thing and that we need to approach it in a very thoughtful way.
Well, there is a wider view, which I'll briefly give you, which is that planet Earth is now at an absolutely precise and tiny hinge point in terms of the time scale. That on the one hand, our technologies have supported our aggression and acquisitiveness, but our spiritual growth has been hampered. We have two possibilities. There are two doors. A, we go through door A, and we continue to wage wars and to have international militarized grabs, and of course that whole sense of acquisitiveness percolates through our society until at the bottom level we get children killing each other. There is door B, which we go through, and we say, look, door A can only lead to planetary and species extinction. We have to learn to cooperate, to think, to share. And if one takes this idea further, then it is obvious that other civilizations, other planets, other intelligences have reached door A or door B choice. If they chose door A, they're not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that I assume that the civilization, the intelligence, the federation, which is behind the crop circles, is very specifically a civilization or group of civilizations which took the door B choice for love, for communication, for intelligence, for rationality. And they've been around for millennia. Now, this will have produced in those civilizations an unbelievable consciousness, which is so separate from what we can conceive, from what we can understand. They are literally in a different dimension. They're in a different dimension within which ugliness at the personal or at the personal level or ugliness at a level of civilization is simply not possible for them. They can't do it anymore. And it's like if you went up someone in the street and said, look, I would like you to knock your head against that the sharp corner of the wall. Just stand there and batter it against the wall until your forehead bleeds. He would say, no, I can't do that. That's not possible for me. And yet, at another level, we can happily tell people to pick up guns and shoot people.
Yes.
That is exactly the civilization. But I have the sense that the authors of the Cross Circle have passed so far beyond this that at an immediate level, it is not possible for them to put down a bad-looking formation. And that is part of the fact that they cannot, as part of their millennia-old culture, they cannot conceive of business at any level. They don't understand competitiveness.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, one thing, the media that they work in is not forgiving. So if you come in and you make something the size of several playing fields with complex geographic angles and designs embedded in them, there are no redos for the most part, I would think. And we don't...
Oh, it's like waste paper. You have one go. Which is unforgiving.
Yes. So the idea that humans are doing this at this scale seems, again, I'll go improbable, and that it makes you think that these people, people isn't accurate. Actually, we have someone calling. Hold on a second. Hello, this is Mark.
Hello,
Michael.
Yes,
hold on. We're going to put you on hold for just a moment, okay?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hello.
Are you in the middle with Michael?
Yes. Yeah. And you're on the air.
Wonderful.
Hi, Sean. Sean, we're going to add you to the conference.
Oh, it's an unknown number.
Sean, is the number that you gave me earlier for your home the number that you're calling from?
818-996-2020. That's the one I'm calling from.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to add that number, and perhaps, Barbara, do we have to call her back at that number? Barbara is the tech department here.
Oh, great.
She's just going to try and add it right now. We've got Michael on hold, and
do you go? Is it a full 3 hours you go, or two?
Hours? We're 2 hours tonight. And by the way, everyone, our caller is Sean Randall. She runs Crop Circle and Sacred Sites Tour, and she's appeared in the film that we were discussing earlier. Sean, I don't have all of your particulars in front of us, but you work as a trans channel, I believe.
And teacher of meditation and connecting with your higher self.
And also the owner of a fine copy of Michael Glickman's book.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to bring you both together, and hopefully this will go easy. So hold on.
We're going to put you on hold.
Okay, Michael, we're going to try to join you and Sean. She's called in. So hopefully this will go well. And
I don't see any reason why not.
Well, I appreciate your optimism. Barbara will... she's going to see if we can't get Sean to connect, and we'll have her in for a few minutes. And very lucky to have her call in, and I'm very grateful that she was able to bring the book, and there we go. And I think that you have... Michael, if for some reason we disconnect, we'll call you right back.
Okay.
I don't see Michael in our mailing list. Just a little tech... this is... you get a glimpse behind the scenes of internet radio.
Yes.
So, there it is right there. Okay. Okay, and I think that we're calling Sean right now. And hopefully Sean will pick up and...
Here I am.
And here I are, and we have Michael as well.
Wonderful.
I'm Sean.
Yes, greetings, Michael.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much. And you?
I'm very well. And how are all the Randallettes?
The Randallettes are fine. We're gathering. I'm gathering Randallettes, and I'm hoping that Mark and Barb will be two Randallettes this summer. And Randallettes are people that come on my tour, Mark.
I know. Michael was talking. We were talking about you long before you showed up. So.
Oh, okay. I had a little technical problem. Apologies for that.
No trouble.
Can I put forth a question to Michael?
I think that'd be great if it's okay. Well, so if it's okay with Michael, it's okay with me.
Can I tell you anything? Anything Sean wants to do is okay with me.
Okay.
Oh,
then.
Thank you. Well, given two things, given that no one can predict the Circle Makers, and given that we had a plethora season of abundance last year, do you, Michael, have any prognostications for this year, given that we can't really prognosticate, but do you have any thoughts about this coming season?
Well, you will remember, Sean, that I had a period of four seasons in which I accurately predicted the numerology of formations which were coming down.
Correct, and that's why I'm asking you this question.
And I was so fazed by that I stopped. I stopped. And my observations at that time, I think I predicted 7, 4, 11, 13 in sequential years as numbers which would anchor a large part of what we were to see. And in all those cases, it seemed to come to pass. Now, I felt that my ability to do that at that stage was because I was very close to the circles and seemed to have some idea of the narrative trajectory, the geometry and numerology of the formations was taking. But I found after that, the more and more people would say to me, what's happening, what's happening, what's going to happen next year? And I thought, what you need in crop circle research, more than anything else, is humility.
Yeah.
And my humility was being challenged, so I stopped making prophecies. But here is a prophecy.
Okay.
You want a prophecy? I know without question that this coming season, 2010, will be off-the-clock breathtaking.
Wow.
Simple as that. I mean, we've been through 2009, which was way beyond the variety and power of anything we've seen previously. And simply based on the telephone and internet activity that I've been receiving, which is a kind of thermometer of the crop circle community, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
I've never experienced anything of this power before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The we've not had a crop circle, but the season for me is already rolling. I mean, this house is already Grand Central Station. There are people already coming through. So I would suggest to everybody who's listening to this, that they should, in the morning, cash in all their stocks and bonds, sell their houses, sell their motor cars, and get over here for this July and August. It's going to be breathtaking. But you asked me for particulars. I have no particulars. I can't be more specific than that.
Well, I was just curious, you know, for myself, I have wishes. You know, I have wishes, like Snow White at the wishing well. But, and so my only feeling is, well, I have wishes, and they're greedy. I'm greedy. I would wish that it could be as breathtaking as last year, and even that would be something just amazing to feel the gratitude that one could feel for anything that even could equal last year. But it seems that each year is so unique that it, in one way or another, surpasses the year before. Maybe not in the number, but either in the complexity or something. There's always in some way that it seems to surpass the year before. So I also know that even though I have my wishes that it surpassed the year before on many, many levels, at least one level, no doubt, will surpass last year. One aspect of the formations this year will somehow surpass last year.
I feel so. I could give you a guarantee. There can be no doubt that 2010 is going to be breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and yet I say that without any hard, demonstrable evidence, you know, but every bone in my body tells me that we are approaching a major, major, major event.
Well, one of the things, Sean, if I could jump in, it seems that as our consciousness raises and more people become aware of it, the circle maker's desire to bring us more to think about seems to increase. Our thoughts drive them, and so we start to create greater expectations, and so those they make meet them, and then we have increased expectations, and more people are drawn to it, and it seems like it becomes kind of a growing circle of raised consciousness.
Well, you see, I think what I should quickly intrude here is that for crop circle researchers, there is simply no question about the fact that there is a direct consciousness link, a telepathic link between humanity and the energy behind the crop circles. They are absolutely, completely, totally aware of what we are doing. And over the years, and Sean would confirm this, over the years there are so many instances of individuals whose requests, thoughts, needs, desires, in a certain respect, have been responded to in the fields promptly and in a way which leaves very, very little question.
You know, are you guys familiar with the film Field of Dreams?
Yes.
Well, there's a saying in it.
If you build it,
they will come. I think that the crop circles kind of flip it. If we think it, they will build.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, I'm sure you could speak to the idea that as our consciousness and our thoughts start to make requests of the crop circles, they seem to respond by building what we think.
They do, and one of the things that's interesting about that is that when the requests by individuals or groups are in any way ego-based or small-minded-based or agenda-based or selfishly based, there is no response. Mm-hmm. But when there is a sincere, desire, a reaching out, one could say from the heart, but a certain purity of desire, then it's a whole different thing. And the other thing that I've noticed by really looking at the data of which individuals and which groups have had responses from the circle makers is that it seems that those individuals and groups who are, as Michael was saying, close to the circles in one way or another, Michael's very, very close, of course, with the mathematics and in other ways as well. Some people are very close near the field in proximity. Some people are very close philosophically. Some people are very close metaphysically or meditatively. Individuals who have been able to sort of put their small selves aside and have some degree of closeness, again, non-ego-based desires seem to then bring response. Wouldn't you say so, Michael?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. You see, what staggers me is that I believe our world has been brought to this precarious level by Cartesian scientism, which I believe is a fundamentalism far more vicious than anything Al-Qaeda has to offer. I think that science, which in so many ways has been an unbelievable blessing to humanity, is also a pervasive consensus which excludes massive sections of the real experience of real people in our everyday lives. And one of the most extraordinary and curious questions in this area is, how is it possible that we have on our fields visible, measurable, photographable, you can walk in it, and it happens every year. It's been happening for more than a quarter of a century. And this is contact. And it has been astonishingly, vigorously, obstinately ignored by science. The scientists are still looking for radio signals from other galaxies. For God's sake, we've got our signals here.
Well, I suppose that if we were able to do this in a lab, I suppose if the scientists were able to, in their mastery, able to recreate a crop circle, I just think that as obvious and huge as they are, they don't exactly fit into the simple methods of scientific method. The scientific method has created...
The scientific method ignores the most fundamental fact that science at any one point in the calendar is wrong.
Yeah.
It's always wrong. And that is its beauty. It is transforming constantly. But scientists will always take the view that science at any point in time is right.
Yes.
And the continuing battle to overturn this rigid consensus is unbelievable. I mean, I'm always amused by the way the Victorians assumed men from Mars would arrive in horse-drawn vehicles.
Yes.
And it makes me chuckle with a terrible desperation that millions and millions of dollars are being spent to trace radio signals, because we believe that just as radio is what is the zenith of our technical achievement, It must be the zenith of technical achievement in the universe.
Of course.
And they cannot comprehend that these agencies, these beings, this wonderful civilization, which is now knocking gently and lovingly on our door, has discovered a far more important universal technology, which is spirit and telepathy, which is outside time.
Mm-hmm. Well, scientific method is unable to measure quite a few different things. Love, I mean, is,
yeah.
I mean, who does? I meet a lot of clients.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of them want to know something about love.
Yeah.
And science has yet to really come up with an excellent method for calibrating the most appropriate and highest forms of love. And how you get it.
Of course, that which cannot be measured does not exist.
That's going to be bad news for quite a few of my clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barbara actually had a very good question about, you know, we're talking about the placement of the circles. Has anyone been able to, has looked at the pattern of the circles around the world and, say, drawn a larger pattern or a larger view as to where they're being placed?
There is a constant awareness of this, but not, no real conclusions have been achieved. I mean, it's a mystery at every level.
In terms of more locally, Alan Brown has done some excellent work mapping Wiltshire formations in certain areas during certain years, but nothing globally that I know of where there's been something that's shown itself as a pattern. But locally in England, there's been some very interesting patterns, right, Michael?
Well, I did some work in 2000 showing that there was a tendency of circles to cluster in triads of similar geometric forms. And those triads, when placed on the map, formed isosceles triangles. That is, triangles with two equal sides. Mm-hmm. Now, the astonishing thing about this group was that the smallest of these triangles I found had a side length of 4 miles, and the largest had a side length of 7 miles. So we're talking about triangles of some miles in dimension. And I know it's very difficult for your American listeners to comprehend a unit of measure other than a football field. And I can't translate miles into football fields. But we're talking about the creation of triangles miles across, with every point being represented by a crop formation, which landed perfectly in an area of arable crop. So it never hit a road, nor did it hit a hedge or a tree. They managed, and this is an extraordinary engineering feat, they managed at a scale of miles to create equilateral triangles to an accuracy of something in the high 99 percentile range.
Wow.
Landing each point very squarely and beautifully in the middle of an area of pasture. Now, I don't know how you do that.
Well, you need a really big ruler.
Yes. A lot of helicopters.
Yes. Yes.
And in the dark.
And in the dark, too. Let's throw in the dark, just for, yeah, for grins, okay?
I don't know. Yes, it is just bewildering.
Well,
it's bewildering.
Barbara mentioned that, we've seen that there appears to be a light anomaly that looks like balls of light. That appear, say, before a crop circle appears.
And after.
Oh. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is when I do, Barbara and I, we go out and we'll do investigations of haunted locations, purportedly haunted locations, and those little light anomalies will show up. They look like little balls of energy that seem to fly in and out of a location prior to or at the same time a phenomena occurs. I wonder if there's a connection, actually.
Well, I don't know what they are, but I've seen them, and I know the way they interact with consciousness. And I believe, in a way, the veil between dimensions is wearing very thin. And perhaps the crop circles are one of the spikings through from other dimensions. But certainly the luminous balls of light are a kind of leakage of consciousness, I think. Huh. They're a preliminary... they're a kind of advanced message of a different way of seeing things. Every time, everybody who's seen one of these balls of light seems to be aware, certainly insofar as they are around the crop circles, they seem to give the impression of consciousness. Simply, you can see them on a video, and you have an immediate sense that this is not simply a moving object. This is an object which seems to have a will and a determination about it. So I think this is one of the very curious and fascinating side effects of the crop circles.
You know, Michael, one of the things that you can't help but notice when you look at a large group of them is how different and varied they are.
Yes.
And so that, to me, maybe poses the question, are they being created by many different crop circle makers? Are there groups of them? I mean, is it possible to say, maybe just the same way that we would be able to tell, oh, that's a Renoir, you know, or that's created by Van Gogh. You know, there's certain characteristics. Are there characteristics that might cause us to think that one group of crop circles was made by the same makers versus another?
Yes. I mean, I've got to come back to you in all humility and say that the most popular answer I have given over the last 20 years is, I don't know.
And that's a very good question. I mean, that's fair enough.
But below, I don't know. I can say this, and I say this as a teacher of architecture and design of decades of experience, that you look for, when a new class arrives, you look for a spark of creativity and inventiveness and an ability to produce something astonishing from nothing. And this is my background. I've done this for a long time.
Well, you're the right guy to be asking this.
What staggers me is the ability of the crop circle makers to innovate, invent, refresh, open new avenues year after year after year after year after year, so that I just find is dazzling. They cannot
be no
more.
End to the imagination and the intelligence of the artistry. No end to it.
It just is explosive. And yet, to come back to your question, you will often find in a certain season that there is a kind of branch line. There's some kind of formal design scheme which lands or which is astonishing. And then some weeks later, some fields apart, that same theme is exercised. And you suddenly realize that these two formations, or maybe these six formations, are from the same pen. The same pencil is producing this group. They are so similar stylistically that it's Picasso or Modigliani or Rembrandt or Manet. There is an individual spiking into a very identifiable, interrelated form, which comes and goes. I mean, Sean will remember, I don't know what year it was, there were two formations, one below Westwood's called the Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
The big thing called the Queen. And then just below the Beckhampton roundabout, there was that stingray with the enormously long tail.
Yes, now, I think that was 96. 95 or 96.
Oh, it was later than 96. It was, I can't remember what year it was. It was later than 96. But those two, for example, were so obviously stylistically related. They were sisters or brothers or siblings. And that particular design attitude had never been seen before, and I think it's safe to say it was never repeated. Those two formations were isolated in their similarity.
You know, one thing I have to suggest too, that something of this scale, when you look at our society today, are there any secrets? I mean, are there any little things? I mean, I think the government keeps secrets at times, but do, say, small groups of people, say, capable of, let's just speculate, if there were a group of highly evolved, real sharp, fast, athletic engineers and technicians who could create these things, how could we ever keep this a secret? It would come out. I mean, there's too much work. There's too many things that happen that someone wouldn't say, okay, we did it. This is how. And I don't mean Doug and Dave. I think they've been discredited enough, and that's insulting even to think of them as a real option. I mean, how would you keep this a secret?
Mark, you keep going back to this. Bless you. You keep saying, oh, look, it's so impossible, it couldn't happen. End of story, it's impossible.
Well, I'm just, for the people who are on the fence, I've taken out a poll, and I'm trying to knock them off the top of the fence with that argument.
Well, I've reached a state of grace with this. I've had 20 years of abuse and insult, of derision, and I've reached a state of grace. And when somebody says to me, oh, come on, they're all man-made, I just smile, shrug my shoulders, say, bless them, and that's it. But I know for sure they have never seen one.
Well,
simple as that.
Well, I have to say that Barb and I feel like we're in a bit of a state of grace to have the two of you come out and explain this. And I hope that our listeners who are around the world, again, we have people listening in the UK, the United States. We have people in our podcast that listen from China to Ohio to small towns in Eastern Europe and all of that. So we're very fortunate that many people are getting to learn about this tonight.
I'd like to say to all those people, if I could, if you see a crop circle, no matter where you are, if you're in China, if you're in Timbuktu, report it. Please report it to the crop circle connector so that it gets in the database. Because there are so many formations that don't get reported. And how do you gather data if you don't have people report them? So you guys that are down there somewhere down under or all over or, you know, in other countries, if you see anything that you think might be a crop circle, report it and see if there's a local researcher that can come out and measure it, report it, gather the data. It's very important.
The other thing that's very important, and I suppose more selfish, frankly, is that as well as reporting it, all those people around the planet who are listening to this, please come in now, this summer. Make arrangements to visit now, this summer. Because, can I tell you, and Sean knows this, the accommodation is already filling up. Get in quickly if you want to see it. I mean, it's simply amazing. It is a life-changing experience. It is, I think, the only miracle available on the planet that you can come and visit and reliably see.
That being said,
how many lifetimes have had that possibility?
Very few. Well, I wanted to make sure that both of you, Sean, as we mentioned earlier, you lead tours. Can you let people know where they can find out more about these tours?
Sure. You can go to my website, which is www.seanrandall.com, and that's SeanRandall.com. Or you can telephone my office if you don't have internet. But of course, if you're listening to this, you do. But the office phone is 818-888-2020, and I'll be happy to tell you all about it. We do a small group tour so that we have a lot of personal experiences. We go over to Michael's house and have tea. And he is located right in the middle, right in the heart of crop circle countries. I mean, there have been so many formations recently that are literally a stone's throw from his house.
And Sean, when is this gonna? When is the tour?
The tour is August 2nd through 10th.
Perfect.
I have to say, Sean Randall's tours are. Absolutely great. But I also have to say, there are others as well at other dates. So I repeat, as a safety net, my email address, which is michaelccr@hotmail.com, and I will also give information on various possibilities, including the summer lectures, which occurs on the last Saturday of July and the first Sunday of August, which is a conference we run locally here, a crop circle conference, which is now, we have been advertising this for 5 years as the world's leading crop circle conference. We're now about to change that title to the world's only dedicated crop circle conference, because there are no other conferences dedicated to crop circles. And we have this year had to move our premises because they were selling out too quickly. and we were literally on the point of fist fights in the lobby on a Saturday morning. So we've taken a hall which is nearly three times the size and is already selling out hand over fist.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are leading the way. I hope that we can play a small part. I want to also invite both of you back to talk more as, Sean, as your tour gets closer. Love to be able to give people some insights into what you see and maybe when you get back. But even before that, also to Michael, you have your new site coming up. As soon as you've got that up and live and things are happening.
We will not be switching on for... we've got several plans for to load up initial films. This weekend, I'm going to be flying around what I call the crop circle belt, which is a road system which encircles the highest area of downland in Wiltshire. This road system has attracted historically formations all the way along its length on both sides, and we've not had any crop circles yet, but I will be flying this beltway at the weekend, and Gary King, my colleague, will be doing a separate flight, but he will be filming the ghost formations, the phantom formations, which remain a year later in the fields. Wow. And we propose to put these pieces of film online, and I imagine it's going to take a week or so. I'll let you know.
Oh, I would hope you would. We only have a few minutes left. Both of you guys have put so much time and effort into teaching people about these things. If there's one thing that this is a big little question for each of you, what would you like people to remember when they consider this? When they consider, are the crop circles real or not? I'll give you each a minute to maybe
come back to it. Stop it. Are they real or not?
They are. Stop. Well, all right. Let me. A better question. What has been the most meaningful thing about the realization that these are the real thing?
Okay, Sean, do you want to go first?
Yes, or... because I think what you say will be such a grand finale that there's no way I could even follow it. For me personally and for the people I've guided into crop circles, I'd have to say the phenomena is speaking directly to the magnitude of ourselves being far greater than we have any idea, meaning that we ourselves are miracles and we are walking in these miracles that are beyond our imagination, beyond our ability to rationally explain them. And therefore, we must open our minds and hearts. And that is perhaps the strongest thing that one can come away with crop circles, is the fact that not only are we not alone, but we're a part of such an incredible oneness and wholeness that we cannot even yet imagine, and yet we must challenge ourselves to imagine it and open our hearts and become more than we already are ourselves.
Beautifully said.
Well, she's stolen my thunder.
I doubt it, Michael. You're a pretty articulate guy. Tell us.
I was simply going to say we are being taught to open our hearts. And Sean said exactly the same thing. I think the whole experience of the crop circles for me has been about opening our hearts and about realizing that the limits of the universe are nothing to do with the limits of our own imagination.
Very, very true. I mean, I'll just say that my and I've yet to go, but I'm in looking at the photos and listening to the two of you. If it doesn't make you think about the idea that there is a God, God is part of us, we are part of God, that there's this huge connection happening. Otherwise, the circles are responding to our thoughts, and that's kind of just a small observation about something that is so much it is so huge. I mean, we're getting this little idea. Okay, we really are connected. So what does that mean? Okay, spend the rest of your life thinking about that. So
yeah.
Well, I wanted to thank Michael and Sean for both of you coming in. Michael, it's a god awful time of the evening for you, or the morning, depending on what time you went to bed and when you're getting up. So I do really appreciate your being with us.
It's been a real pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
And you have to forgive me for keep wanting. I'm behind you in terms of like getting the fact that these are the real thing. I feel like that I'm getting there. So if I kind of am annoying you with questions you've done.
No, you must forgive me. I my life is a constant battle, and it has been for 20 years. In fact, last year, a group of researchers took an oath that we would not ever again deal with the media. So we don't speak to newspapers, we don't do interviews of any sort without checking firmly beforehand, because it's broadly trivialized. And so we just stopped doing it. And I now have taken a personal oath that if, and I've told the leaders of my groups, that if anybody comes to my house and asks a question about hoaxed man-made circles, they will be thrown out. I will not talk about it. I will not discuss it. I will not have it mentioned under my roof. This, to me, is like the notion of babies being discovered under stones or brought by storks. I'm not having it discussed, so forgive me for being so fierce and curmudgeonly.
No, I appreciate it. I'm just, it's just a revelation for me, and that any of these silly old arguments that rather than having me weigh in on them, I'm trying to take advantage of having you and, of course, Sean here.
There's one thing that, you know, if seeing data that offers proof of realness can genuinely take someone into their open-heartedness and being in awe, then okay, you know, we can say, all right, one night years ago, 35 formations appeared at the same time, and there's absolutely no way that could be organized with hoaxers. Absolutely no way. Okay, fine. We don't need to hear that anymore. But if a fact like that will help somebody go, wow, let me look at this again, then I'm happy to say, yeah, one night 35 happened at the same time that could never be orchestrated. But as to defending their realness, that's ridiculous. I mean, I'm with Michael on that. It's a waste of time.
Well, I'm in a similar area where I'm trying to explain to people that psychic experiences are real. So I have spirits that come to me, grandparents, loved ones, children lost in car accidents.
Oh, Mark, now prove it. You have to prove it to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I feel your pain. I understand where you're going. I totally get it. It's like, how many times do we have to explain, I've never met these people, I have no idea who they are, I didn't know this about their family. No, I didn't spend 3 hours on the internet researching how their loved one passed and what their favorite color was and where they went to high school and what their dog's name was and about the time Aunt Mary came over and laughed about the blah, 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 blah. I mean, who has the time to do this stuff? I don't.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, listen, thank you for letting me be a bit of an interloper here and joining in with the fun, and I really appreciate it. So,
oh, not an interloper.
Generosity here.
Come on. You're never an interloper.
Not at all.
You were great, Sean.
Well, to both of you, thank you so much. This is, again, my head's going to spin around as I think about some of the things we touched, and I think we just barely scratched the surface. Which, of course, gives us a perfectly wonderful reason to bring you back again sometime soon to talk about this real and growing and thrilling phenomena. So thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful night.
I will.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Sean. Good
night, Michael. Night, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Barb, they just gave us so much to think about. I don't even...
Wow. I want to sign up. Right
I want to sign up for the tour. Both of them are, I mean, and the idea of going to Crop Circle Tea, that sounds like a lot of fun. It does. I'm going to overlook Michael's comments about, disparaging comments about football fields, because unfortunately I do think about them more than I probably should. But it's these things are fascinating to me. Before we go too far, we are going to try to be very prompt. We'll try to get out a little bit before 9 tonight. But I did want to say, if someone has a question they would like me to look at psychically, I'm available to do that. The number is 818-574-8412, 818-574-8412. I also wanted to let everybody know that there's still an opportunity if you are thinking about going to QueenCon, that it is this weekend. It is Friday and Saturday night. And it is now possible. We've talked to Don Shai, the queen of QueenCon, and she says at the very last minute that there will be single day passes available, and that they are actually offering at the last minute a slight discount, a nice discount. I think it's $70 for Saturday. If you tell them you heard about it on Positively Psychic, that'd be great. And for the whole weekend, normal price is $150, but yeah. Now it's $130. So, and the tickets will be available on the ship. And I have to tell you, there's some great people. A number of our people who have been guests on our show are going to be there. A recent ad is Brad Lockerman, and the other gentleman, the engineer, Barbara, what's his name, that worked on the serial, is working on.
Oh yeah.
Fernando Morris. Bradley Lockerman and Fernando Morris are going to be on at QueenCon, and they're going to be talking about a most fascinating topic, and that is the cold fusion, the Searle generator, which uses magnetics to create electricity. But that's just one of the great speakers. The Booth brothers are going to be there. I can't even tell everybody. Patrick Burns, Marla Gibson. I will be there with Barbara on Saturday night doing a... demonstration of psychometry, and I wish I could tell you off the top of my head all the other people. Mark and Debbie Constantino, I believe, will be there.
Friday and giving an investigation Friday night.
Michael and Marty Perry will also be there to do a gallery work. It's a wonderful experience, and I invite everybody to go. If you can make it, please do. You'll have a great time. And the thing too, when you go to these things, it's important to support everyone. So if you do make it to the Queen Mary, please make a point of paying for your tickets and being there. You don't want to miss this. This is a great experience, and Dawn has worked herself to the bone trying to make this happen. So she's done a wonderful service for all of us. It just, if anyone who's interested in the paranormal and the metaphysical. It's a large and growing, there's so many topics that are interrelated. And by going to these events, you meet a lot of people who care about them as much as you do. And I can't say enough. Again, it's going to be at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. Look up Don Shai, and she'll be glad. Again, you can buy tickets at the door, or you can buy them still online, I think, still, Barbara.
Yeah.
So don't miss out on that opportunity.
It's through Don Shai's website.
So I'm looking forward to it. But let's go back to our friends tonight. This was really a lot of fun. I mean, crop circles to me, it's like, how can you deny what it is that we're talking about? It's just too big a topic. It's too important.
I didn't get to ask Cece's question, but she wanted to know if all the crop circles were made by one race of aliens.
I don't think so.
Like the same, but it looks like there's like different ones, you know.
Well, that was the thing. That was something I was hinting at, or we were not hinting. I was asking pretty directly. They think that there are more than one group of designers, more than one group of circle creators, and it's I guess there are certain bodies of work that look familiar. So to say it's you can't really, it's hard to say. It's not like they're signing them. You know, it's not like artwork that we can see. But yeah, if you go to if you look up Dawn Shai, she's going to be there. I also wanted to say we're going to have our friends from Apro Paranormal will be there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the guys. 3 a.m. Paranormal. Some of our we are very lucky to be going out and investigating with them. And Richard Sennett. Barbara's looking, pulled up the schedule for us right now. I think we've got Ed Kraft and Lisa Carmody. Keith Age. They're not going to be with us.
So, Brad Lockerman.
Brad Lockerman. And the Paranormal Stew live. That's going to be a blast. I can't wait to see that. And a lot of good inside fun jokes that are going to make for a real fun evening. So, and a real fun weekend. So, again, if someone wants a reading, we have a little more time. It's 818-574-8412. 818-574-8412. I wanted to let you know, next week we're going to have author Nicole Strickland. I believe that's Nicole Strickland. She has written some wonderful books on paranormal or ghosts in the Southern California, in the California area, and she has a new book coming out on Ghosts of the Queen Mary. We were very fortunate to meet Nicole.
At the Linda Vista.
Oh, actually, it was Sybil Brand. We went out on a terrific investigation with our friends from 3 a.m. Paranormal, Joe and Becky Mendoza. And if you wanted to look up, if you're looking for a great investigation in the Southern California area, look up Joe and Rebecca Mendoza, 3 a.m. Paranormal. Shout out to Marcia and V. That if you can make it, if you're interested, look for their meetup site. And they are always organizing some fun events that are just not to be missed. Barbara and I have been out with them at Linda Vista Hospital, Sybil Brand. We've gone to some private locations. We've gone to one place that shall not be named, but we'll just say we've been to the Hotel California, and it is quite an interesting place with a lot of stories.
Check out their meetup site. They have a meetup site, and then they post all their newest investigations, and you can write to them and say you're interested. And I think it's like $50 and
or less.
Yeah, and we get large groups. We get about 30, 40 people.
And they run a good place. And in fact, we were very fortunate to get into Sybil Brand. I mean, Joe and Rebecca have a good working relationship with local law enforcement. They're respected for the way they run things. And because of that, they are able to get in where other groups cannot, because they know how to run a tight ship, so to speak. I guess that we're not talking about the Queen Mary. They probably do something there too. There's going to be a lot of friends there, but I recommend we do it. You go. Also, too, in case you wanted to look up the book, Michael Glickman's book, Crop Circles, The Bones of God, are available online through all the normal places, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, wherever you're looking online, the books are available. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you really want something to think about, it's kind of hard to you know, just give this a cursory glance and not focus on it. I mean, the first time Barbara and I had some experiences with the paranormal, that stopped us in our tracks. All of a sudden, we had, you know, a lot to think about. And you just couldn't ignore it, right?
Well, I think that everyone that we have met in this industry, in the paranormal industry, has had an experience that has just knocked their socks off. So they're looking for that repeat of that experience. They're kind of drawn to it, but they're terrified at the same time. But everyone has like told us about just wild experiences.
Well, don't you think, Barb, that people want to have that validation again? Don't you think that people are looking to have some, if you can't repeat the experience, don't you think that they're looking for other people that understand what they've experienced?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that they're looking for that sign or picture or actual contact with, you know, the paranormal.
They want someone to tell them, no, you're not crazy.
Right, right. And it brings a lot of people together. You know, we meet a lot of great people.
Well, I do find that pretty enjoyable. I mean, when you meet someone who, when you tell them, I have seen a ghost or I've heard a ghost, they don't look at you like, you know, you're an insane person that just happened to wander by and that you're annoying them and that if they give you a dollar, you'll go away. That's not the case. Everybody from our Dave and Tommy who started this to our friend Marla to just where do we stop with all of the friends and interesting people we've met. They've given us a lot of great experiences and a lot to think about. Reverend Tim and just the list goes on. So my advice is that if you find a good community of friends locally or online like this, hold on to them. Recognize that we have something special. And it'll enrich your life. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'll get off the soapbox now and I will heal you. Ashley, I'll listen to you if you give me a call. And Ashley, we'll probably have to wrap it up pretty quick.
Yeah, I think they're going to switch over the server.
We have a new server, I think, going in tonight. Dave's going to have his hands very full. Thank you, Dave. We're not worthy. Thank you. And in any case, I wanted to say tune in next week. We're going to have a great author, another fascinating person, Nicole Strickland. She's going to have a lot of... I don't think the Southern California region gets its due when it comes to spirit activity. We actually have a lot happening here. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Nicole has to say and what she has in her book to talk about in some of the places that if you want to come out here, you can come out for more than sunshine and surfing in Disneyland. If you want to meet a few ghosts and not at the Haunted Mansion, well, maybe there's some there too. I don't know. Barbara's worked at Disney.
Yeah,
they're haunted. We've got them here too, and you'll hear more about them next week. So until then, have a positively psychic week. Be sure to buy your tickets and come on out to Queen Con. Let's help our friend Don Shy. You'll have a great experience. Barb, thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a positively psychic week.
And we'll see you all at Queen Con. Have a good night. This has been a Para-X production, sponsored by CBS Radio. We'll see you next week on Positively Psychic. This is Barbara Nelson from Positively Psychic with your host, psychic medium Mark Christopher Nelson on Para-X Radio. Mark and I would like to thank all of our listeners for their support of our web radio show, Positively Psychic. With your support, we can keep bringing you the best web radio programming and Podomatic and iTunes downloading. So keep listening, and we'll keep bringing you great paranormal programs from Positively Psychic, with guests like John Searle, Patrick Burns, Marla Gibson, Allison Dubois, and Chris Fleming. So tune in each week, every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, on Parx Radio, the leader in paranormal web radio. Thanks again for your support, and we'll see you here next time on Positively Psychic.